to our third and final hour on this Tuesday edition of the Hagmann Report. Our guest this hour is Pastor Mike Spaulding, and we got a lot we're going to get into today. He's the host of Soaring Eagle Radio, and he's got a few websites, drmikespaulding.com, soaringeagleradio.com, and Pastor Mike has been a guest on our show in the past, and he offers tremendous insight into spiritual and current events that we see unfolding in our world. Pastor Spaulding, welcome back to the show.
Much for the invitation. It's always a treat to be on with you.
Well, it's great to have you. I know as we were talking before the show here that we attempted a number of times to get you on, and we had scheduling conflicts on your end and on our end, and it just wasn't working out. But today we got it locked down, and we are ready to go. You're fresh off of a conference that you're pretty excited about. Let's get into that.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I was in Oklahoma City this past weekend, late last week and this weekend, with a number of other folks from our fellowship here in Ohio. And my wife, Kathy, was there, and my oldest daughter, her husband, sister went. So we had a whole group of folks that went out. We were in Oklahoma City for the first annual Prophecy Watchers Blessed Hope Conference. And I just want to give a kudos to Gary Stearman and Bob Ulrich for putting that on. One of the things that struck me, though, Joe, was that the lineup, all great speakers, the topics were fantastic. But as I was looking down through the schedule for the weekend, I thought, wow, probably 80% of these folks have been on with Doug and Joe at some point. People like Bill Salas, Paul McGuire, Barry, Sharon Gilbert, Josh Peck, Michael Lake, Bob McGinnis, Ellie Marzulli, Billy Crone. So that kind of gives you the tone, the tenor, the flavor, a little insight into what type of conference it was. It was really aimed at equipping, educating, and encouraging believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to stand strong, remain firm in these dark days. So I just wanted to bring that up and encourage people, if they live in the Oklahoma City area, to be on the lookout for that conference. It's an annual event. There are certainly other good conferences all around state that folks can check into, but the Prophecy Watchers, they do a very good job on this conference. It's top notch and first class speaker. So very encouraged coming back off of that. And the message again was to don't blink, don't back down, even though we're in dark days. Don't be discouraged. Don't be fearful. But stay in the game. Stand the fight. The Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua, our Messiah, has won the battle already. So just keep that in mind.
Amen. Pastor Spaulding, I want to ask you about what you see. I know you do a lot of these conferences. We do a few ourselves, but you seem to do a lot more than us. Have we seen an increase in people wanting to attend these events and attending these events? Is it in decline? What's the attitude like with the people? Are they hopeful? Are they nervous? Because we meet all different kinds when we do these events, but there always seems to be some overwhelming feeling of if it was good or bad, or where we were headed.
Yeah, that's a great question, Joe. It's been my experience that folks are hopeful, and they want to be reminded of the reasons why they should be hopeful. You know, we all share the Holy Spirit that resides in each one of us that name the name of Jesus, Savior, Lord. We share that common bond of the Holy Spirit, and so there's a common message that the Holy Spirit is speaking to God's people today, and that is to be encouraged to keep your eyes focused on the goal, on the prize, conferences, I have to say this, Joe. There are some conferences that I've attended in the past I no longer do because they've kind of lost their way. It's just a rehash of things that people really don't need to hear. The conferences like the True Legend that they just had in Branson, I think it was in September, Miss Steve Quayle was out there, Tom Horn was there, Michael Lake, Derek Gilbert was there. I know I probably missed some speakers, but they were there, and I was talking to Mike Lake this past weekend, and he said they were upwards of 3,000 folks there, pretty much sold out. The folks just were very encouraged, gave kudos to all of them, spoke very highly about the conference itself, and that it equipped them to really stay the course. That's really what it's all about in these days that we live in. So I think it's about staying the course, being reminded and encouraged with the power and authority that we have as Christ followers in this day and age. In the face of evil, again, it's easy to think that we're outnumbered or we're going to be overwhelmed. The fact of the matter is that our enemy, they are very desperate. I think that's why we're seeing many of these things come to pass, because our enemy is very desperate, pulling out all of the stops, trying to bull rush God's people. But I would remind those that are listening to us tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church, against his true people. So that won't happen. But take courage, brothers and sisters that are listening. There are many good places you can connect them. Joe, I appreciate the opportunity to say this on Hagin's Report. But find yourself a good Bible teaching, Bible believing fellowship. Get plugged in. You need the fellowship and you need the community. And that's the picture that we see in the New Testament. That Christ has a body. They gather on a regular basis for encouragement and for equipping. So don't neglect to do that, folks. Make sure that you're doing that and getting your spiritual strength and getting your armor on each day. So that's a long-winded response to your question, Joe. I think these conferences are serving a very valuable purpose within the body today. They're equipping believers to stand strong wherever they're at, because this one in Oklahoma City, there were people from all over North America. There were people that came in from the United Kingdom, people from Ireland, there were people from Southeast Asia, all of the states, Canada. I mean, it was just remarkable. I'd say probably 1,500 folks there for this past weekend in Oklahoma City. So get plugged in someplace, folks, and be encouraged. We are winning the day, despite what it looks like. Mainstream media today, boy, they paint a picture of the church just being battered and bruised. America falling apart. I've heard that so many times. Things are just falling apart. But I think the perspective we should have, Joe, is that things aren't falling apart. Things are falling into place. The Lord God said his plan is coming to fruition. Nothing that's going on today is surprising our Father. He's got this. So we can rest and be assured that that is the case. Stand strong where we're at.
Amen. And one of the things about the conferences that are so great is not only the people that are there, from those in attendance to those that are speaking, but the variety of topics that are discussed, and as you said, the encouragement that that people leave with. And really, that kind of encouragement is what people should be receiving from their church on a weekly basis. And from the conviction to the words of encouragement, and that is missing. That enthusiasm is missing from so many of the churches here today in this country, whether it's because of the doctrines the pastor preaches, the ideology, or, you know, in many cases we see that this watered-down Christianity where, you know, the pastors only want to talk about, you know, like the Joel Osteen gets used as a lot as an example, you know, your best life now. Never talking about sin, never talking about repentance, never talking about healing and walking in your walk with the Lord. It's always what you can do better for yourself today and for yourself, you know. And we, it seems like the air has been let out of the church. And if we were really the church we're supposed to be, we would be able to affect a lot of the social changes that we see going in the opposite direction, the direction of just depravity, from the, you know, the LGBT stuff to the abortions to you know, the transgendered issues. It just on and on and on. I actually saw a video today where at the Obama Library, there was a library in California that was named after or named in Obama's name or Michelle Obama's name, was actually a drag queen reading, who looked like she was dressed up as some kind of satanic goat, reading an LGBT pride book to children. And, you know, this kind of thing, here, photo of satanic drag queen reading to children at Obama Library in California triggers outrage. The article is on silenceiconsent.net. And a photo of satanic drag queen reading to children at Obama Library triggers outrage. And the photo depicts a satanic drag queen reading to a small children at Michelle Obama Neighborhood Library in Long Beach, California, sparked national outrage after it went viral on social media. The event was part of the Long Beach Library System celebration of LGBTQ History Month and National Coming Out Day. And the article goes on to list the details and shows the pictures of this person in this horrific outfit. It looks like, you know, people are so concerned about these people dressing up as clowns as the It movie is coming out. This is much scarier than any clown I've ever seen. But this is the kind of stuff that is acceptable in our society today. And Jesus and the Bible are not anymore. And that is because the Christians have not done their duty in standing in the gap and also in being the example that we are told to be, not only to believe, but told to be in the gospel. It's really frustrating to watch.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, Joe, and you're absolutely right. There's, you know, the plan that we have tonight, it would be hard to hack all of the influences and variables that have contributed to the place that we find ourselves in. It certainly starts with the fact that you and your dad talk about this without end, and you should continue to do so. But that is this: the United States of America, the government of the United States of America, is a bought, paid for criminal organization. It's being run by Luciferians who can't say that enough. It's being run by Luciferians. How else can you explain situations occurring, as you just mentioned? How could a former president want anything remotely resembling this costumed drag queen being associated with his name? And yet, he seems to delight in this kind of poking people in the eye stuff. And it's much worse than that. The activism that we see today being pushed down from our government down into our school system, brainwashing children, confusing children with this whole gender identity nonsense. Listen, biology is pretty easy to understand, Joe. It's not confusing at all. And but our government has strong-armed our school systems, and of course our school system has been already prepared to receive this kind of Luciferian indoctrination. The Bible calls been conditioned now for several generations. Of course, John Dewey was the father of modern American education. He pushed the view of a flaming socialist that received his training and instruction in Soviet education techniques in the Soviet Union, brought that to America. That's part of why we are where we are today in our school system. But there's so many other variables going on there, Jeff. The point that I'm driving at is this. Instead of resisting vehemently, instead of standing up and becoming activists, the church has simply gone along for the ride. We can go all the way back to the 60s when it took prayer and the Bible out of the school. I mean, we can, you know, we all know this. This is a whole litany of offenses against God's people perpetrated by the government of the United States. I've made this statement from my pulpit dozens of times, if I've made it once. And it's this. The government of the United States is not the friend of any born-again Christian. They are not our friend. Any appearance of being our friend is purely coincidental. It is not their intention to be. They are doing everything within their power to destroy the church, to at least, as a minimum, to neutralize the church. I think they've done a pretty good job of neutralizing carnal Christians. Some people would object to that phrase and say there's no such thing, but I think there are believers that think some that live a very worldly life. I'm not saying that they're not saved, but they sure are going to have loss of rewards when they stand before the Lord. But the church, Joe, the church has dropped the ball by and large. But what I see here, what I see in this, is that there's a great pruning going on in the American church today. There's a good many people that are just falling by the wayside. We can argue whether they were ever believers or not some of the time. But the church is being pruned. So what I see is that it is being really fit for battle. Those that could not stand in the battle are being moved to the side. Those of us who are ready for the battle, that have been training for the battle, and will rush to the battle, we are being called to do exactly that. Pastors, if there are any pastors listening tonight, I want to speak something specifically to you. Now, you could be a pastor, you could be a ministry leader, Sunday school teacher, a deacon, or an elder, you could be some type of ministry. I can speak to all of you and say this. And that is this. You need to be faithful to the scriptures, faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, faithful to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if you will do that, not only will you become a stronger, more battle-ready, fit for the mission that the Lord has given to you, but so will the fellowship that you associate with. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron, that each of us together, this community of believers, this body of the Lord Jesus, we strengthen each other as we are faithful to the scriptures, to the Lord Jesus, and to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And as far as you mentioned a word, Joe, earlier, that doesn't receive a lot of attention in far too many churches today, and that word is repent. And it reminded me of a passage in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, when Jesus' public ministry began. He said this, Mark 1, 15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, I remember when I talked through Mark, in fact, I'm teaching through Mark now. Several weeks ago, I went through this passage, but I reminded people, listen, if you want to understand upfront mission statement of Jesus. If you want to understand what was primary on Jesus' mind, what his concern was, what he believed that he was supposed to be focusing on, then you need to read the first couple of chapters of Mark, because you're going to find nuggets all throughout there. This is the first one, Joe. Jesus said the time is fulfilled and the kingdom is out of the hand. What he's saying is, I've arrived now in fulfillment of God's plan, God's timing. And here's my message. Very simple. Repent and believe the gospel. Boy, that sure flies in the face of what we see and hear today in many churches and the message that they claim that Jesus came to bring. Well, we don't have to invent anything, Joe. It's right there in front of us. Jesus said, repent. Repent and believe the gospel. That's the only way to salvation. Now, we could go on. We move on to verse 38 of Mark 1, and Jesus told those disciples who were following him at that time, let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also. And then get this statement. For that is what I came for. That is what I came for. This pseudo-Jesus that we see being talked about and taught in a good many places today is not the biblical Jesus. It's not the real Jesus. It's not the Jesus that came and turned over the swindlers' tables and drove out the merchants from the temple. Not that Jesus. It's the Fabio Jesus, is what I like to say. People get the idea immediately when I contrast it like that. But if we'll get back to the gospel, Joe, we'll get back to teaching the scriptures. That reminds me of something that Mike Heiser said once when I was speaking with him. I told him, I said, Mike, I'm going to steal that line because that is a great line. And I throw it out there every now and again, but simply this. It is not the job of any pastor, any Bible teacher, any ministry leader. It is not the job of a Bible teacher to protect people, those listening to the teaching. It's not their job to protect people from their Bible. And what that means is that the Bible says something very differently from what most Christians think it means. But the reason that most Christians are confused about the Bible is because they don't study it for themselves. They just accept, just like taking a spoon feeding a baby, they just accept what a Bible teacher has to say. Well, Joe, I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of false teachers out there today that are just throwing stuff out there for the consumption of believers without any study, without any conviction of the Spirit, without any leading of the Spirit. They're doing it because they think it sounds good to put people in the pews in order to keep the money coming into the offering plate. I don't see any difference between these modern-day so-called preachers and the snake oil salesmen of the 1800s, to be quite frank.
Yeah, you know, there is, unfortunately, what you just said a few sentences ago, that you know, most Christians don't even know what's in the scriptures, what's in the Bible, is so disheartening. And yes, you know, there is a place for pastors, ministers, and spiritual leaders in our society, but in reality, each and every believer themselves has not only the duty but the responsibility to be as well versed in the Bible as the pastors and spiritual leaders are. And you mentioned, you know, how the scripture says iron sharpeth iron. But if, you know, you have one person or one Christian out of 100 in a church that knows their Bible real well, and that person, say, has some kind of ill intent toward the congregation, you know, before you know it, he can mislead them and create a whole new gospel and basically religion based on his own interpretations. This is why it's so important that we're not told what's in the Bible by other people, that we learn not only from reading, but from what the Holy Spirit imparts on us when we read and when we pray. And it seems that a lot of the country has decided that the scriptures are not as important as they used to be, especially with all this advancements in technology. And I'm guilty of this too, between the phone, you know, TV, the internet, you know, reading news stories and you know, not giving enough attention daily as I need to the Bible. Back in the old days, people didn't have all these visual distractions to deal with, and they use their time more wisely than we do today. Today, people, you know, we're at the forefront of this information highway, and yet it seems that we know less and less and less, even though there's, you know, more information out there now than ever. And it's very frustrating, especially in the Christian world, to see so many uninformed Christians, where you have these doctrinal debates, whether it's the pre-tribulation or post-tribulation rapture, or, you know, this once saved, always saved, you know, these arguments about doctrinal debates that can be solved if each and every person just read and studied their Bible and asked the Lord for the discernment on what they are reading. And it's not something that can happen overnight, but I would challenge folks, 10 minutes a day, read your Bible for 10 minutes a day. Start there, whether it's the first thing you do in the morning or the last thing you do at night. Get in the habit of doing it, or one page a day, one chapter a day, whatever you're comfortable with. But start somewhere, start a routine, get into that routine, and go from there. It's amazing what you can learn once you start doing that. And I really like the, if you want to merge the Bible and technology, there are great applications on the phone and for the computer out there. I love the program eSort. You can download the Bibles, all the commentaries, all the different versions of the Bibles, the concordances, and you can see what each word means in both the Greek and the Hebrew. You can do things like have a phone app where you can listen to your Bible as you read it. That's what I really like to do. And you can get the verse of the day, the chapter of the day. You can do reading plans. There are ways that this technology has been, you know, put together so it makes the Bible more accessible for people who are using all these electronic devices. But we don't see a lot of people utilizing those tools. Would you say that's because we have just become spiritually complacent? Do you think the Christian church, do you think they're just removed from their faith?
Yeah, that's true in a good many cases, Joe. Now, speaking for my own fellowship, we're just a small church here in Lima, Ohio, but our folks come in without exception every Sunday with either a Bible or some kind of electronic device. Now, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I am seeing more and more people bring up their Bible. In fact, my wife, we were just at this conference that I said earlier this past weekend, and I asked her when we were heading down to the first session, where's your Bible? She held up her phone and showed it to me. It said, right here. And I'm one of those old school guys, so I like to have that book in my hand. Really, that's because I like to scribble and highlight, underline, make notes, do all of those kinds of things. And maybe there's a device out there to allow you to do that, but I'm still one of those guys that likes to have the book. But to your point that you're making, I think the reason, the major reason why folks are not bringing their Bibles to church anymore is because the pastor's not teaching from it anyway. Why lug that thing in there if I'm not even going to open it up? Because so many Sundays, it's maybe a scripture reading, but then the pastor will get up there and talk about everything but that. Sadly, today, that includes so many themes and topics that the culture values, social justice, for example, which is unbiblical to the core, and can't be supported scripturally by a Christian. If you want to know what we're supposed to be doing, Christian, then read Micah 6:8. That's all you need to understand about that. This whole concept of social justice is nothing but a ploy of the cultural Marxist to try and manipulate undiscerning people into doing what they want done. It's really an overthrow of God's moral
Pastor Mike, I want to kind of venture off into another area that I've brought up with a few other pastors that we've had on the show. I've been getting quite a few emails, not so much this week, but maybe over the last 3 weeks, since the eclipse and since the September 23rd planetary alignment that mimicked or matched Revelation 12, we've seen a number of crazy events happen. We had this sweep of hurricanes, from Hurricane Harvey to Irma to Jose and Nate. We had a few earthquakes, from Japan to the bigger one in Mexico, south of Mexico City. We have, you know, the Las Vegas shooting. Many people are asking, oh my gosh, with all this stuff going on, are these prophetic events unfolding before our eyes? And I saw just an article, a really obscure piece, about a dancing sun. And I'm going to read this to you. It says, what happened yesterday, October 13th, 2017, the dancing sun in Benin during the consecration of Nigeria, our parishes and families, to Immaculate Heart of Mary. The dancing sun at the venue was seen yesterday. Our Lady Queen of Nigeria, pray for us. And it's a video of the sun pulsating like a heartbeat for a matter of minutes, and all these people falling to their knees and praying. But, you know, there's these phenomenons that have been happening for a while now all across the globe, whether it's, you know, the mass animal die-offs to, you know, the signs in the sun, the sky. And people are asking the question, are these signs relevant to the prophetic nature of what we're seeing happening in our world today? What would you say to that, Pastor Mike?
Well, I'd say that the Bible does teach that there will be an increase of natural phenomena and things like that. But then specifically in the September 23rd event, that particular interpretation of Revelation 12 is not one that supported that, not one that really gave much, if any, credence to that viewpoint. I studied Revelation, taught it three times in pastoral teaching ministry over the years. Revelation 12 says something very specific, but I didn't see it anything speaking as some were trying to say that it did. Now, when I hear about apparitions and things of that nature, Joe, especially as they are attributed to Mary.
To Mary, yeah.
To Mary. I always, without exception, declare that to be demonic, satanic, and because there is nothing, not one verse or phrase anywhere in the scripture that says that we should expect those kinds of signs that would point us to the adoration of Mary. But I can show you plenty of verses. Plenty of verses which says that there will be a mass deception, the so-called Queen of Heaven will be worshipped. I can show you all kinds of passages like that. So my recommendation is to stay away from that. That is false sign meant to lead people into deception.
Yeah, what the scripture says about the lying signs and wonders. And, you know, what's interesting about, and the reason I brought that up is a few people emailed that to me to see if I had saw that. And one thing that I know for sure is if the sun was really pulsating like that, it wouldn't only be over Nigeria. I think we all would have seen that. But no, there are a number of you know, people that are concerned that the times we live in are getting worse with what we're seeing. You know, we still have these ongoing problems in the Middle East, the instability, ISIS there. We see the nations of the original area of the Bible in upheaval and in chaos, in turmoil, you know, and what we see, Israel is in a position where they're talking about a possible, you know, peace deal with the Palestinians, and Donald Trump seems to be on board to want to, you know, in his own words, you know, make the deal. to get that peace process ushered in. There's a lot of things that are happening that can be tied into prophetic events, and I think it's getting people's attention, but if the people's attention are not then reverted back to their own faith walk with Jesus, what good are the signs and the warnings for? And I think that's where a lot of people miss the mark when we're looking at these kind of events.
Well, I'm one, Joe, that subscribes to the belief that Israel is God's clock. It is his timepiece. If we want to know where we're at on the prophetic scale, all we need to do is look at what's going on with Israel. Bill Koenig, I don't know I think you guys have had him on, haven't you, Joe?
Yeah, it's been a while, but yes.
Yeah, I would encourage you maybe to reach out, bring him back on. He has revised his most popular book, in my opinion, Eye to Eye, and where he chronicles all the natural disasters, occurrences, whether it's earthquakes or hurricanes or tornadoes or what have you, flood, tsunami. He chronicles those major events, and it goes from, I want to say he goes all the way back to Bush 1 and chronicles from Bush 1 all the way, and he just released this new and updated edition of that book, Eye to Eye, where he brings it all the way up to include Harvey. Now, what he does, though, is he looks to see what is happening within the United States government or what is happening in the Middle East in regards to Israel. And it is astounding, the relationship between major disasters that we've experienced, not just here in America, but other places, the direct relationship between those and someone, some government, some country, some president trying to exert influence Israel in the Middle East, whether it's to give up the land, to a two-state solution, what have you. But thinking about what you asked about all these disasters, that's why I say, my wife Kathy can attest to this, because it's usually the first statement out of my mouth when a major disaster happens. The first thing out of my mouth is, I wonder who's trying to do what to Israel. So that just reminded me of that when you asked that question. The point is this: if we want to know where we're at, keep an eye on what's going on in the Middle East. Now, folks, your listeners are very, very intelligent, Joe. They're high IQ. They are plugged in. They understand what's going on. But I'm going to say this for some that maybe are listening for the first time or they're new listeners to the Hagin Report. I'm just going to say that the United States government, the President of the United States, is really handled. And what I mean by that is, he can state publicly, especially on the campaign trail, what he intends to do when he gets into office. But without exception, when they get into office, those things change. Part of the reason is because they find out the reality of how Washington actually operates. Washington, again, in my view, is a criminal organization. It's made up of professional mafia type, really, extortionists, crooks. Most of them should be put in prison forever. And I'm not talking about your average federal worker. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about most of our elected officials, and especially the lobbyists that grease the palms of our politicians to turn them into they go to Washington as a small business owner, perhaps, and maybe as an attorney. And after 10 years there, they're multimillionaires. Well, they didn't become that multimillionaire on $175,000 a year salary, I can say that. So So what I'm saying is this, and especially this applies to our State Department, Joe. The State Department is pro-Muslim, pro-Islam, pro-Arab world. They are anti-Israel. There are still Obama appointees in key positions. Trump has not ferreted those folks out. The State Department is not a friend to Donald Trump. Neither are many of his appointees, which is kind of discouraging to me. If you look at their resumes, almost all of them belong to the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, that tells me that they are there with an agenda. And it isn't Trump's agenda. They're there with the PFR's agenda. And their agenda, and that's why we see so much talk today, Joe, about open borders, about this immigrant invasion. That's something that maybe before we're done tonight, Joe, I'd like to, well, let me just bring it up now before I forget it, if that's okay.
Sure, absolutely.
Well, one of the things that frustrates me in relation to the immigration push and everybody, you know, up in arms about the immigrants that are being brought in, unvetted. Well, I can tell you why there's such a push against Trump to continue to bring immigrants into America. There are nine subcontractors that are in charge of what is called feeding immigrants into local communities. Now, what's interesting to me is when you look at this list of contractors, organizations that are responsible for bringing immigrants in, many of them have a religious affiliation, I'll put it that way. Now, one of them is called the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. Now, Joe, the last Form 990 that they filed for 2016, this Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, they received grants from our government to the tune of $24 million. $24 million. And when they added up their contributions with the grants and the gifts and all of their campaign to raise money, they filed a report that said they had $41,855,000 at their disposal to bring in immigrants. Now, we could go down the list. There's a Lutheran Immigrant and Refugee Services. There's an Episcopal Migration Ministry. There's Church World Service. I think there's even a Roman Catholic organization that's involved in this.
But yes, there
is. The point I'm making is these organizations, they're not doing it out of compassion, mercy, or some kind of biblical ethic or moral. They're doing it for the money. They're being paid millions of taxpayer dollars to continue to bring immigrants that clearly, we see it every day, that a vast majority of them are being brought into below poverty standards. They're living in squalor. Many of them are committing felony crimes, and yet we still have Christians that are advocating for this to continue. I just see it as one of many signs of this mass deception that's going on, that it's just blinded people to the truth today.
Yeah, and you know, we had Josh Tolley, the radio show host, on our show a while back, and he talked about the Catholic involvement of flying, getting paid, I think it was $2,000 a head for flying immigrants and trafficking them into the United States. It is a big business. It is big money.
It is.
And it's unfortunate that these churches are they're doing it specifically for the money. They're not doing it for, you know, what the Pope would say is, you know, the humanitarian and Christian duty to help a brother. They're doing it solely for the profit. And it is not just them, it's other religious organizations. And when we have a Catholic Church and the hierarchy who runs the Catholic Church going completely against the doctrinal foundations of the Bible, and not only that, but acting against the teachings of the Bible, you know, it is very troubling to see. And we see how the church has become so far removed from its intended purpose. And when we look at in the book of Acts what the church was after Jesus was resurrected and the Holy Ghost was imparted on to all the people there, and the difference that they were able to make in spreading that gospel, and you look at the resources and what we have everything today that they didn't, and they accomplished what we can't even, and we can't even you know, keep up, we can't even show up, basically, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And it's really sad. But we were told that this was going to happen in scriptures. Yeah. We were told that this apostasy would take place, that they would create other false Jesuses and other false teachings that stem from the Bible. And they have been very successful at doing that. And unfortunately, because the church is not on their toes, the church is not paying attention and is not doing what is in the best interest of their relationship with the Lord, we have seen so much abuse, corruption, and scandal inside of our churches. And not only that, but the so many people no longer raise their children with any kind of faith, and our society is decaying morally, and not only that, but mentally and physically as well. And I think a lot of that has to do with the spirituality aspect.
Oh, absolutely does, Joe. It has everything to do with that. When you turn your back on the Lord, there are certain and dire consequences that will follow. And America is reaping that whirlwind. And that makes it all the more important for believers, folks that are listening to this, that makes it all the more important that we really double down and be serious about our relationship with the Lord. And what follows from that, then, if we are serious, then we are willing to say, as Isaiah did, "Here I am, send me." The Lord wants to give each of us an assignment in these last days. That's one of the things that I learned from my military career, Joe, was that the best fighting machine is a lean, trim, fit, focused, knows the goals and objectives and the plan to achieve those. That is the best fighting unit on the face of the earth. And the church is to be that. We are to be combat ready. That doesn't mean that we've got all of our supplies, you know, locked away in the basement in case we need them. No, that means that we are supposed to be ready at a moment's notice. You know, we talk about the whole Ephesians 6 armor thing. We're supposed to be ready at a moment's notice so that we can pick up and go where the Lord leads us. Now, what I do know is this. Many Christians, they don't need to travel halfway around the world. They don't need to go to a foreign country. If they want to evangelize, and they want to win souls for Christ, if they want to be in the battle, I don't think you need to leave the town that you live in these days. Now, there are enough pagans, heathens, apostates, and lost people right there where you live. Just take your Bible, go downtown. Now, and this is something that we did not long ago. Several of us just took backpacks full of Bibles and tracks, and we just went downtown Lima, and we just walked up to people right where they were at, introduced ourselves and asked if we could give them a Bible, and then talk to them about Jesus, explain to them what the gospel really is, and ask them, are you prepared to meet God face-to-face if you were to die today? Because that's what it boils down to, Joe. We can cut to the quick and say that if folks are not say. We should be able to say that to anybody that we meet and ask those questions. Are you ready to meet God? Because everybody's going to. The day will come when everybody will meet him. And so we should be able to and ready to do that, and we should be able to do that on a moment's notice. And I think that's one of the things. If the church could get that mentality back, Bill, if the church would get that mentality back, if that's what we're here for, that's why God left us here, so that we could be out making him known to people, sharing the gospel and bringing them into saving faith. If folks would understand that, I think the church would be great again. And we magnify the name of the Father, and we tell people about Jesus, and we're obedient to the Holy Spirit, and God is going to be magnified great again. That's what's going to turn America around. It isn't going to be domestic or foreign policy. It isn't going to be political rhetoric. It isn't going to be laws that are passed. It's going to be hearts that are changed because they've received Christ by faith. That's what's going to change America, Bill.
No, you're absolutely right. Pastor Mike Spaulding, we only have just a few moments left, a few minutes left in this show, and we've covered a lot of ground so far. I want to ask you this. We see this Las Vegas shooting. We see all the problems with the law enforcement and their inability to relay the facts to the American people. It seems that there is a massive cover-up going on. We see in Hollywood the sexual abuse scandals that are in the forefront of the news as Hollywood continues to unravel, as day after day more celebrities are coming out detailing their allegations of sexual assault. We see the FBI is basically losing any and all credibility from the it coming out that James Comey made up his mind about the Hillary Clinton email investigation months before he made the announcement, and now we see that Hillary Clinton received money in her foundation to approve a deal on the Uranium One. All this is coming out in the open. Do you believe we will see this, or this could be the beginning of a mass awakening to where people are going to find themselves not being able to trust all the institutions that they once believed in and did trust, and maybe in that sense turning back to the church? What do you think all this revealing is about?
Well, I think that it is the Father continuing to pull back the curtain to reveal the corruption, the evil that's going on. But when God does that, Joe, he's expecting his people, his blood-bought, born-again believers, he's expecting his people to stand up and become vocal like they've never been before, become activists for righteousness. So if there is a groundswell, then it should be in that direction. It should be pastors from their pulpits, again, like it was in the times of the Great Awakening, thundering from the pulpits about the need for righteousness and pointing out and naming names. Unfortunately, too many pastors won't do that. They've become co-opted into the matrix of a Luciferian system. But I think the Lord is pulling that back. He will expect a response, and I think that it is our responsibility, Joe, to offer up that response. Now, I know that I do. The folks that I run with and speak with and talk to, they do. We need to encourage other ministry leaders and other pastors to begin speaking about these things in the pulpit. Pastors need to talk about the pedophilia epidemic. They need to talk about these sexual scandals. They need to talk about all of this unrighteous, ungodly behavior. I can tell you something. There are pastors right here in Lima, Ohio, that during the campaign season were out vocally supporting Hillary Clinton, and they were doing that unashamedly. Why can we not, as pastors, speak against other pastors who are doing unrighteous deeds and behaving unrighteously, supporting a woman who should have been in prison instead of on a campaign trail? She is a documented Luciferian witch, a head of her own coven, if you will, and pastors are supporting it. Joe, it blows my mind, and I think it speaks mass deception that has fallen upon America, indeed the world, but that includes pastors too. Well, I thank God that I'm not one of those who's been deceived. I'll continue to speak about all those things that you mentioned. And I would encourage other Christians, because you don't have to be a ministry leader to speak the truth to your neighbors, to your co-workers, to your family. You need to point these things out, and the Lord reveals them, and righteousness will be served. That's what we need to do as Americans, as believers.
Very well said. Pastor Mike Spaulding from Soaring Eagle Radio. We have about 1 minute left, Pastor Mike. Where can people listen to your show? And when?
They can listen to Soaring Eagle Radio. That's my interview show, podcast, SoaringEagleRadio.com. Of course, I pastor Calvary Chapel of Lima. Calvary Chapel of Lima. You can find it at CCLOhio.org. CCLOhio.org. And you can check out our YouTube channel that has all of the sermons, the Bible teachings that I do. My wife Kathy gets those out there on YouTube. So just search for Calvary Chapel, Lima, Ohio, and subscribe to that. Listen to a lot of great teaching.
All right. Pastor Mike Spaulding, thank you so much. It was a fantastic, fantastic hour. And again, thank you so much for agreeing to come on in the final moments of the day, as Stan Deo couldn't make it on tonight. But it was a perfect fill-in. And thank you so much. Folks, that'll do it for us tonight. Until tomorrow, stay safe. God bless. Have a great evening. We will be back tomorrow. Don't forget the Doug Hagman Show, 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern on Global Star Radio Channel 3, Blog Talk Radio Live and Archive, and the Hagman Daily Show on 2 to 3 p.m. Global Star Channel 3 and on Blog Talk Live and Archive. So until then, stay safe. Have a great evening.